Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on today's program is Pete Worrell. He's Managing Director at Bigelow, and he'll tell us a little bit about Bigelow in a second. And he's author of a book entitled Enterprise Value. Pete, welcome to Edgewise.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here.
Pete, before we get started on the book, and I'm very curious about it, tell us a little bit about Bigelow. What is Bigelow? Where does it fit into the marketplace right now?
Bigelow is a really easy firm to understand because we're nationally known for being the only M&A firm that focuses exclusively on entrepreneur owner managers as clients. We have two kinds of services. One would be how to help our clients think through building their enterprise value and ultimately someday to capture that enterprise value in a capital gain. Our firm was founded in the 1930s. We have about a dozen professionals. We have partners who live on both coasts.
Awesome. That's exactly the answer I was looking for. All right, let's talk a little bit about the book. Our audience for much of our programming here at the American Management Association are new managers and middle managers, but very frequently we have people who are managers with a serious entrepreneurial bent or desire. And in many cases, we're dealing with very small organizations, which are brand new. So a lot of these questions that I'm going to ask you are sort of within the context of that entrepreneurial manager or startup type of person, a small type of firm. So that's where I'm coming from with a lot of these questions. Are you comfortable with that?
Great.
First question is, how should entrepreneurs be preparing for the eventual acquisition of their company?
So I think that I would answer the question, Dave, by saying that their firm should look at two things. First, internal, and second, external. Internally, if I were an entrepreneur owner manager, which is what we call these people,
right,
I would be thinking about how am I going to prepare and align my senior management team with also being interested in achieving a capital gain someday. The vast majority of entrepreneur owner managers really aren't driven by the motivation for profit or selling their business. They're really driven by the desire to achieve a sustainability of their business beyond themselves individually. So it's really important internally that they think about their management team. Externally, I think entrepreneurs need to ask themselves, are they in an industry which has the opportunity for a capital gain? What I mean by that specifically is there are industries that don't have an opportunity for a capital gain. Silly example, law firms. Law firms are made up of intellectual professionals. They go home every night. There are no law firms who are acquiring other law firms per se. But if they are in a business which has a scalable advantage, where they're able to differentiate themselves from other firms in their industry, then they have a potential for a capital gain someday. And I would be thinking about, what's the size of the addressable market? Is it attractive? Is it growing? And what are the external driving forces of my enterprise value?
Pete, have the rules changed in this new era of global business and internet startups?
Dave, the way we think about this is juxtaposing the private transaction market against the public one. Most of us think and hear from the media about the public market, which is a very efficient market, in which we pick up the Wall Street Journal or an AMA publication and read about some of the horror stories that go on in M&A transactions. That's not the market that we deal in. The market that we deal in is the private transaction market. And in that market, the rules are like this. The market is a seller beware market. Virtually all of the investors, the buy side in the market, have more information and more experience than the sellers do. It's curious, isn't it? The sellers come into the market and think about a capital gain, which may often be the largest single financial transaction of their lives, but they've never been in this market before, and they don't have a lot of information about it, and they're up against some highly sophisticated and experienced professionals.
Now, you're on record as saying that a generalist approach can work better than a deep industry-focused specialization. Why is that?
Thank God we live in 2014 and are doing this business in 2014. Why? Well, when I began in this profession on July 1st, 1980, you really wanted to work for one of the really large Wall Street firms. Why? Because they had divisions of librarians who were able to do all kinds of research for you, and the small firms really were at a disadvantage.
I call them Oompa Loompas.
Oompa Loompas. Right. It's a better technical term. And today, as you know, thank God, we get information on every firm in the world at the same time that Goldman Sachs does. So there's no advantage for us in terms of being an industry specialist because we all have information that easily accessible to all of us at any one time. And Dave, the really intriguing thing here is that by insisting upon the discipline of working in multiple industries all time, we get to see patterns of knowledge in one industry that is able to be transferred to give us insights in other industries. And we're able to bring those insights, that wisdom, I will call it scar tissue, if you will, to our clients' benefit.
Where do employees fit in these seemingly very high-level discussions about acquisition?
I think entrepreneur owner managers have a decision to make early on as they're thinking about, do I have a capital gain in my future? And the decision is, when do I get my senior management team involved in this discussion? And our answer would be, if possible, as early as possible to get their interests aligned with the owner managers. The second question, I think, then is, and how am I going to communicate and think about my goals with all the rest of my employees? Some of our clients have what they call an open book company. They actually share the financials with all of their employees every month. And we've been engaged by some of those firms. And actually, I remember a meeting in one of our clients' cafeterias one day where the CEO said to all the employees, this is Pete Worrell from Bigelow, and if you see him around, you can ask him how we're doing because we're going to go out and seek a new investor for our business. Most other of our clients prefer to keep this dialogue confidential until such time as they have the answer to report to their employees. They're very concerned not to give their employees any more uncertainty in their lives that they already have. And so usually it's if and when they have what's the next thing that's going to be happening that they're willing to talk about that with the full employee group.
Now, Hollywood would have us believe that most M&A activity results in the breakup and auctioning off of acquired companies. What does reality look like?
Reality for Bigelow clients in the private transaction market is that while the private equity group market and the strategic acquirer market may have earned some of the black eyes that they've gotten in the press recently, that in the aggregate and on average, those investors have helped our clients' firms. They have provided capital that allowed our clients to realize the enterprise value that they've built, and perhaps just as importantly, they provided an incentive for those non-owner management teams to become owners and also have a capital gain someday, without which they would never have had the opportunity to do.
And in your long experience with it, what do you find to be the single most significant reason that acquisitions fail?
I think the most significant reason, Dave, would be that there's a lack of alignment on philosophy and culture in the business. That a coldly objective agent who is representing a number of investors can have gone to the best business school and do the best spreadsheet models and run the best pro formas that they possibly can. But if they really aren't buying into and supporting the philosophy and culture of the entrepreneur, owner, manager, or that person's management team, then frequently after a short honeymoon period, there's a coming apart. And that's unfortunate because it can result in a train wreck and a dissipation of value.
Do you feel we've already seen the golden age of mergers and acquisitions?
Oh, gosh, no, by no means. If anything, just the opposite. I would say that there's 5,600 or so publicly owned companies in the United States. The U.S. government says there's 90 million privately owned companies in the United States. I think that there's going to be a tidal wave of ownership change in North America among entrepreneur owner managers, the likes of which we've never seen.
We've been speaking to Pete Worrell. He's managing director at Bigelow, and he's author of Enterprise Value. Pete, thanks for being with us today.
Dave, thanks for your thoughtful questions. I really enjoyed it.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.